John Morosi, at John Morosi from Fox Sports. John, good day to you. How are you?
Doing very well, Joey. And how about those Blue Jays, my friend? This has been impressive to see.
It has been. It's just funny. I was saying before you jumped on with us that generally when you win 11 games in a row, you make up. You're galloping, right? It's like the Belmont. You're galloping to the finish line, and you're making up a ton of ground. But yet the Jays, they've made up some ground, but not as much as you would hope, because Tampa Bay and the Yankees are both 8-3 in their last 11, and tied for the division lead. The Yankees are 0.001 percentage points ahead. But yet, listen, nothing negative, nothing but positive right now with the way this team is swinging the bat. The confidence level is just incredible. And they continue to do it. If you would have told me that they would have swept the Red Sox, right? If you would have told me that they would sweep the Red Sox in Boston without home runs, right? Without home runs from Bautista, Encarnacion, and Donaldson, right? Like if you would have told me that, I wouldn't have believed you. But then Ryan Goins has a lifetime day yesterday with 5 RBI. And smashes a 3-run homer. This team's getting it from everywhere.
E questo è perché Chris Colabello è un bravissimo giocatore. Okay, don't forget about that, Joey. But yes, Colabello's a very good player.
Hey, let me ask you, John. Let me ask you: can we somehow fuse Colabello's hitting with Pilar's fielding and create one
guy? There
you go.
The perfect player. Colabello, of course, I should say. Colabello is for our listeners out there. He is the only. To my knowledge, the only fluent Italian speaker in the major leagues. So that of course, that's he's going to be big in Woodbridge on that. On Woodbridge and Vaughan, there's a huge Colabello fan base, I'm sure, growing up there. But in all seriousness, this is it's a very exciting lineup, and it's a deep lineup that I think whether they are developing some familiarity with each other and from the standpoint of the overall chemistry of the lineup. We know, obviously, Rogers Center is a great place to hit. So I think there's a lot of good things developing right now in the lineup. I also think we should make sure we mention Jose Reyes has been very good the last couple of weeks as well. So I think there are not a lot of breaks in that entire Jays lineup. So I think they're really wearing down opposing pitchers a lot. And obviously the flip side has been the pitching has been more consistent than usual. And I think that's going to be ultimately the limiting reagent, if you will, of this team's success. I think they're going to hit. They're going to keep hitting. They've been hitting all year. I think they've had the most runs scored in the major leagues this season. The question is going to be, for how much longer will the pitching continue to be consistent? I think, Joey, the key thing is going to be adding a little bit. I think if they add the right starting pitcher, if they add the right bullpen piece, then this team has as good of a chance as anyone else in the American League East, because the Rays pitching, of course, they've had the loss of Odorizzi now in the last couple of weeks. The Yankees have lost Andrew Miller, and as you say, both the Rays and the Yankees have continued to play well. But I think all of these teams have their flaws. I mean, the Jays, we know, have their flaws too, but this is a flawed division, and if there's any year to win this division as a flawed team, it's probably this year. So I really think if the Jays make the right moves, just get the right bullpen piece and maybe the right starter to sort of round out this roster, they're going to be a very, very dangerous team, I think, deep into the season.
What about the rumors that they've talked to the A's about Tyler Clipperd and also the Phillies, Jonathan Papelbon? Look, I'd love to get Cole Hamels. It's just the question is, what do you got to give up? We know that the Jays are historically, I won't say frugal, but watch the budget closely. There is a budget, and they have to stick to their budget. But when you're smashing the ball the way this team is, and look, last year there was an 11-game win streak a couple of years ago, and didn't make the playoffs again. And this lineup, the window is going to close on this team. They have a lot of young players in the system, specifically pitchers and guys that have been up and down this season. Guys, when the team broke camp, there were so many young pitchers that was questioned. But now that the team has settled in from a lineup standpoint, 1 through 9, they're solid. As you said, they're building chemistry, they're building familiarity, they trust each other. Well, you still need a closer or a setup guy. You need a little more depth in the bullpen. And listen, not to take anything away from the bullpen in the last couple of games, because they've had their first couple of saves in, I think it was like 18 games they hadn't had a save. So, but, you know, Cecil and Osuna and Loop and Hendricks and so on and so forth are fine. But I think if you add a Papelbon in there, it just makes – it solidifies this bullpen to the point where it's no longer an excuse. And, yes, picking up – one starter would be great, because look, going into this game with the Mets, where you're looking at what the Mets took from the Blue Jays in that famous deal with Syndergaard and Darnell for Ferrari Dickey, who's coming off of Cy Young awards winning season, who has been anything but. And again, I'm not saying R.A. Dickey has pitched terribly, but he hasn't pitched like a guy who won the Cy Young award, and he's probably never going to do that again. You wonder what the move is for this team to take the AL East, or what the moves are, John.
Well, I really think if I had to prioritize one over the other, Joey, I would say the bullpen is the key part. And Clippard, according to Jerry Krasnick of ESPN, there's been some contact on him. According to R. Ken Rosenthal at Fox Sports, there has been some contact with the Phillies about Papelbon. I think both of them would help. And you know, Papelbon in particular, he's closed in the American League East before. He has been there. He brings, I think, the right attitude. There's a little bit of an edge to him, as I've said before. But I think when you look at the way that this team has had to win games, Joey, they're going to have to win on occasion. Your 8-6 games and 8-5 and 10-8, and the other day was even higher scoring than that. I think the thing you have to have, you're understanding that there's going to be a certain volatility to the early innings of ball games. You're probably going to have a team that's never totally secure in its lead in the early innings, and also one that's never out of it. We saw obviously the comebacks they had over the weekend. They're such an impressive lineup from that standpoint, where they still consistently have great at bats no matter what the score is. That's a great attribute for a ball club. I think you have to give a lot of credit to Russell Martin and Josh Donaldson, Bautista and Encarnacion, the way that the key hitters in the lineup continue to have good at bats despite the score being what appeared to be out of reach. But I think that all that being said, what you have to have, Joey, is that guy to settle the game down at the end. Once you've gone through a 3.5 hour marathon, 3 hours and 45 minute marathon, and you've been able to seize that 10-8 lead in the eighth inning, you've got to know at that point in time that the game is over. You can't then be wondering, well, geez, is it now going to be 11-10, or is it going to be 10-10, and we're going to play 15 innings? You've got to know. Now, obviously, there are those odd circumstances where it doesn't work out, but you've got to basically know at that point in time that the game is over. And I think for a team that's going to play a lot of back-and-forth games, and because one trade would not fix that in their rotation, but if you're going to play a lot of back-and-forth games, you've got to know at the end that the game is secure, and that's where the closer comes in, and that's where I believe Papelbon is the best fit for this team.
And the Jays have shut down Aaron Sanchez for his next start, so he's on the DL, I think, retroactive to the 6th. And Copeland's going to take a spot, and his only start pitched very well. So that was very heartening to see that they could, you know, pick a guy up who had pitched well. I think he was 4-1 in Buffalo, but a guy who hadn't made a major league start. And it's nice to be able to plug those holes. But again, it goes back to the pitching depth isn't there on this team. They can beat quality starters. They have beat quality starters. I mean, to start this streak, they beat Max Scherzer, who almost had a perfect game yesterday. He struck out 16 career high yesterday, and then they poured a bunch of chocolate sauce on him, which was kind of amusing. But so look, with the Jays winning 11 straight, John, and you know that this fan base is hungry. This fan base is starving to make the playoffs. This, you know, Southern Ontario, the Northern U.S., where the Jays fans are, and across Canada, they will go crazy if this team is able to make the playoffs. The question is, when you look at a team that can sweep a Red Sox team which has a pronounced rotation problem, bigger than anything Toronto would have, right? They win all three games despite giving up 19 runs while seeing Hutchison, Dickey, and Estrada all got lit up against Boston. It was just the Jays scored so many runs, it didn't really matter. This is a team that now has to ask the question, what's the couple of pieces that we need, right? The bundle that Al Anthopoulos can put together of I'd say lower-level guys, say to get a Johnny Cueto or you know, Castro. But if you're going to go after Cole Hamels, you'd have to expect that Sanchez or Norris would have to be part of the package. And is this team willing to do that if they're willing to swallow the dollars?
Well, I think there's certainly two different questions there. One is obviously the financial aspect of it. One is the prospect question. And traditionally, in recent years, the Jays have not added a lot of payroll at the deadline. Now, that could change this year, depending on the circumstances of the division. I think, again, last year the division was somewhat within reach, and there was not a huge move, obviously, that was made at the deadline. So that, I think, is going to be the interesting thing for the organization going forward is, do you add that payroll at the deadline this year? Is there something about the division, the way the division looks, that makes it more favorable to make that trade in 2015 as opposed to 2014? That remains, as you say, still an outstanding question that we don't have the answer to right now. I do think on the prospect side of things, first and foremost among the trade targets, Cole Hamels has the no-trade clause, and it's my understanding he most likely would not approve a trade to Toronto. That's not to say that he won't, but that I think at this point in time it looks most likely that he would not do that based on the current circumstances. So he's probably an unrealistic option at this point in time. Cueto, though, obviously is just a one-year guy. He'll be a free agent after this year, as will be Mike Leake, his teammate in Cincinnati, who is, I think, a reliable innings guy and also an intriguing option, I think, for the Blue Jays. So, stay tuned on both Cueto and Leake. And you're right, it may take a higher-level prospect to get it done, as one would expect. But again, I think you look at the big picture here. If you're the Blue Jays, and you feel as though you're one really good starting pitcher away from winning this division in a mediocre year when your opportunity to do so may be better than it's been at any point in time in the last 10 or 15 years, to me, this is an important year to strike. Because you look at the big picture here, and if the Jays can at least make the playoffs, if they at least get in and maybe even win the first round, if they're able to do that, I think the ramifications financially, competitively going forward will be huge. And I think you'll get more free agents attracted to come to Toronto. I mean, you and I and all of our listeners right now know what an amazing city Toronto is, but Toronto has to get itself back on the map for free agents, and to do that they have to win. And that is the one thing that I think you look at the big picture. The players respond to winning. I live in Michigan. I live close to Detroit. There was a long time when major free agents just were not considering the Tigers because of the city's perception and also the fact that the team wasn't winning. Well, once the team started to win, the veteran players wanted to come. And I think that you'll see that happen. You saw it happen in Toronto 2 decades ago with all the great players that wanted to come to Toronto. The same phenomenon, I think, could happen again. But the key thing is, the Jays have to win, and I think that if they at least make it back to the playoffs this year and get that reputation of being a great place to play again, the city, the team, the winning, if all that happens, then really it changes the whole paradigm of the organization. So from that standpoint, it's not just should we add a starting pitcher; it's should we do something that could change the perception of our organization within the entire industry among the players that we want to sign as free agents. So I think it's not just a narrow question of this July 31st. In fact, I think there are a lot of larger questions at work here for the Blue Jays.
John, thank you very much for being on the program today. Enjoy your Monday. Always a pleasure to speak to you.
Piacere tutto mio con Nazionale. Great to talk to you again, Joey. We'll have to do it again soon.